see you this morning in God's house. 177 in your book. 177. You'll turn there. And let's all stand and sing together this morning. Are you washed in the blood this morning? 177. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
To trust and go. Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see this number out to God's house this morning, and great to feel His wonderful presence. And where would we all be without Jesus this morning? We'd all be doomed and damned. We'd all be on the road to hell. But because of Jesus, praise God, and if we know Him as our personal Lord and Savior, we are heaven bound this morning. And there is nothing that is going to stop that. It's good to see all these beautiful smiling faces. Good to see everybody here. Especially good to see all kinds of kids here this morning, and teenagers as well. And kids and teenagers, they are not only the future of the church, but they're also the now of the church too. They play a big part in it. So it's good to see them all here, and a big credit to you parents for bringing them out to God's house this morning. And Pastor Dan is preaching at a homecoming at First Free Will over right across over that way. So let's be very much in prayer for him this morning, as he's preaching, and he's getting a big old meal right after church this morning as soon as he gets done. I don't know about them people over at First Free Will, but I know if it's homecoming and there's somebody up there preaching at 12 o'clock, we better be over in the fellowship hall getting ready to break bread, all right? I'm just kidding, but you all be very much in prayer for him this morning as he preaches, and I need your prayers this morning too. But like we said, it is great to be out to God's house this morning, okay? Before we do anything, and before we turn it over to Henry for special singing, we'll go ahead and take up our Sunday morning offering, okay? So I'll ask our ushers to come down. Now, Les, if I don't do this right, you just yell at me, okay? Okay. I don't want to mess anything up. I mess up a lot of things. Just ask Lene, okay? I do. All right. Anthony, go ahead and bless the offering. If you're visiting, there's little cards in the pew there, so fill that out in about 5 seconds and drop it in the offering plate, okay? Thank you.
seems like all I could see was a struggle. Haunted by ghosts that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won. I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain, and I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. By the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You said, me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, to wipe away every stain, and I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, cause his day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and I hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed, you set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains, you wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains. You wipe away every stain. And I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed. Ooh, praise His name. Ooh. Thank God, redeemed.
and smoked some salmon on his big pit boss there. And man alive, that was awesome. Then had smoked macaroni and cheese, smoked baked beans. And if you didn't get an invite, that's his fault. You take it up with him, okay? But as for me and my family, we did get. See, Mike and KJ's getting on him right now about not getting an invite, all right? But it is good to be out to God's house this morning. For those of you that were able to make it yesterday to Brenda's brothers, Alan's celebration of life service, that was such a beautiful, wonderful service. And Brenda, you did a wonderful job sharing some great stories about your brother, and the best part of the story that you shared about your brother is that things were right with him and the Lord, and he's in heaven now, and how great that is. But that was a wonderful service yesterday, and appreciate everybody that was able to come out and be a part of that. I got some announcements to make here. It says, please announce we do not need any more toilet paper or paper towel rolls. That's a weird announcement to make in church. You don't need any more toilet paper rolls, all right? But you do not need any more toilet paper or paper towel rolls. That's got something to do with the trunk or treat that's coming up. So for those of you that have been storing them and stocking them, and when people come in your house and they see a bag full of toilet paper rolls, you can throw those out now so you don't get any more weird looks, all right? So very thankful for that. Something me and Dan talked about earlier this week, I think it was September is national. There's a Sunday in September that is National Get Back to Church Sunday. So me and Dan were talking and praying, and we want to celebrate that whole month as National Get Back to Church Sunday. So we're going to really focus on that month, inviting people out to God's house, getting visitors to come in, but most of all, you know, reaching out to the lost to come out and worship with us so that they can hear about the plan of salvation and things like that. So we're going to take that whole month as a special month and dedicate that. You know, we should always be inviting people to God's house, and we should always be telling people the good news about Jesus. But we're going to take that month and really focus on it. And what we're going to do is, and me and Dan's not came up with an idea yet, but if we can average 15 more people the month of September than we do these last two Sundays in August, we're going to do something. Now, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to do something. Since Dan's not here to defend himself, I'm going to throw this out there. I think we should throw pies at Dan's face if we have 15 more people, okay? But I'm just going to throw that. Don't tell him I said that. Do what? Don't waste good pies. Okay. Don't waste good pies. Only from a brother. Only from a... What about shaving cream pies? Put shaving cream on them. Or mud pies. All right. So we want to have some fun with it, but we also want to promote Jesus Christ. And listen, there's nothing wrong with doing that whatsoever. Promoting your church, what God is doing in your church, and things like that. So let's have some fun with it, and I'll even volunteer myself. You can throw pies at both of us, all right? But unlike what Tom said, I do want a chocolate pie thrown at me or a peanut butter because I want to eat it while it's all over my face, all right? So there's that. Genesis chapter 32 this morning, if you brought your Bibles with you. Genesis chapter 32, and like I said, I hope everybody's had a good week. I know me and my family certainly have. Riley's sitting there. Where's Riley? There's Riley. 3 weeks away, right? Due date. Baby Stetson is going to be here. It's awesome that we have a labor and delivery nurse in the church in case something happens. Little Stetson can be born right here. What do you think about that, Riley? That's fine with her. She's ready, all right? I don't know if Logan's ready, but Riley says that she's ready, okay? But let's be very much in prayer for him. You can tell I'm scared this morning. I'm nervous because I'm just babbling and making no sense. But I promise we're going to get into this. All right. Genesis chapter 32. We're going to read verses 24 through 26 to you this morning. And then go back earlier on in this chapter and maybe read later on in this chapter as well. So I do need your prayers this morning. Genesis 32 verse 24. The Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Dad, I'm going to ask you to pray for me this morning. Amen. The thought that God's laid on my heart and on my mind this week is wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. Now that is something that 100% of us in this church this morning, we have all done. If at some point in time you were lost and God was using the Holy Spirit and God was using conviction to knock on your heart's door, and you rejected it or you ran away from it, or an invitation was given in church and you didn't come down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in reality, you said no to God and you were wrestling with God because God was trying to get you to go one way, but you went to another. That is the definition of wrestling with God. So we wrestle with God when we are lost, but I think it's also important to remember this morning that we also wrestle with God when we're saved too. God will send His Holy Spirit our way and He may tell us to do something and we not do it. Listen folks, that's the definition of wrestling with God. God may send His Holy Spirit our way and say, I need you to say this to this individual, and we wrestle with God and we say, well God, I just don't know how that's going to go over. Look at the company that's over there. They may not like what I have to say. And if we turn around and go the other way, we have wrestled with God. So it doesn't stop once you get saved. I wish it did. I wish I could stand up here and say, as a child of God, that I have never wrestled God since I have been saved. But I'm here to tell you the truth. I have. I have been in wrestling matches with God since I've been saved. So if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, I want you to know something, that you are going to be in a wrestling match this morning. God is going to speak to you and the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And you might say, well, Preacher Nick, how do you know that God is going to speak to me? And how do you know that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to me? Well, the reason that I know that is, as this message is coming directly from God. It's not coming from me. I can't speak to you. I can't convict you. But praise God, God can, Jesus can, and the Holy Spirit can. And that's where it's coming from this morning. So I know there's going to be a wrestling match in here this morning with somebody that is lost. But I also know there's going to be a wrestling match this morning with the saved and God. So at the end of this message, I hope that God has spoken to your heart, not me, because I can't do nothing for you this morning. But at the end of this message, I hope that God has done something, that God had wrestled you enough that if you're lost, that you will accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you are saved, you will submit yourselves even more to the perfect will of God. Amen. See, God's will is perfect in every way. My will is not. The will that I have for my life and the will that I have for Lene's life and the will that I have for my daughter's life, you know, I've got a vision of what I want their life to be, but it's not perfect. Why? Because I'm not perfect. I'm man. You as a parent this morning, you may have a will or a vision for your child's life, and that's great. That is awesome. We should have a will. We should have a vision for our children's life. But I want to tell you right now, ours is not perfect. But bless God this morning, the will and the vision that comes from God and from Jesus and by the Holy Spirit that He has for our children's lives, for our grandchildren's lives, and for all of our lives this morning, bless God, it is the perfect will and strategy of the Almighty God this morning. And how thankful that we all should be for that. So we're going to read an example here of where Jacob wrestled with God. God sends an angel to Jacob, and Jacob is wrestling with God. But first of all, I want to set the stage for you. Jacob is returning back to Canaan. If you'll remember, 20 years earlier, Jacob had to flee because his brother Esau was going to kill him. Now, the reason that Esau was going to kill Jacob was because he took his birthright through trickery and deception and things like that. Well, 20 years has passed, and Jacob has lived with, I believe it's his uncle, Laban. And he has lost favor with Laban. And God tells Jacob, he says, Jacob, I need you to leave the country you're living in now. You need to leave Laban's territory. And I want you to go back to Canaan because you have lost favor with Laban, thou uncle. And the more and more I begin to think about that, the more and more I begin to realize this. Sometimes us as Christians, we may lose favor with man. We may lose favor with people of this world. We may lose favor with a co-worker. We may lose favor with a friend. We may even lose favor with family. But I want to tell you something right now, bless God. We may lose the favor of man. We may lose the favor of this world. We may lose the favor of friends. We may lose the favor of family. But bless God, this morning, if I lose all that but gain the favor of God, hallelujah, praise God for it this morning. It's worth it to lose the favor of this world. The favor of this world is going to get you nowhere. The favor of this world is going to split hell wide open. But bless God, the favor of God will get you a white robe, will get you walking, running, and flying up and down the streets of glory. Hallelujah. Having the time of your life, bless God. So give me the favor of God any day. Thank God for it. So Jacob is returning back to Canaan. Well, Jacob gets word. Laban's chasing him from behind, and Laban's wanting to kill him because he's taken half the cattle with him and all that stuff. He's got richer, he's got better cattle than Laban and all that. So Laban's furious with him. Laban's chasing after him. But also out in front of him, he's got his brother Esau. And if you'll read earlier on in the verses in chapter 32, you'll find that Esau's bringing 400 men with him. So Jacob is sandwiched in between two great forces that are coming against him. Listen, sometimes in life it might feel like that you're sandwiched between two great forces. The devil's on this side and the devil's on that side. Temptation is on this side and lies are on this side. Lies are on this side and deceit is on that side. Depression is on this side and anxiety is on that side. Worry is on this side and fear is on this side. Those are all tools that the devil loves to use against those that are lost and loves to use against the Christian. But I want to tell you something right now, bless God. Just as Jacob was being given a way of escape out of Laban's territory, are you not thankful, bless God, this morning that the Christian and the saved is given a way of escape out of the sandwich that the devil is making? He's got you between two places and there's nowhere to go. But bless God, God is reaching His hand down between the ploys of Satan and He's reaching you and He's picking you up out of the danger, bless God. Thank God for it. That's what He's getting ready to do with Jacob right here. So you look at what Jacob, he's preparing to meet Esau. So what does he do? Let's go on earlier in verse 6. 7 and 8, the Bible says, and the messengers returned to Jacob. Jacob sent messengers to Esau because he wanted to know what Esau was bringing with him. We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to use me and Dustin as an example because I love Dustin. I'm Canaan's goddaddy, if nobody knows that. I just want to brag on that just a second, okay? Papa Nick's what he calls me. I love that little boy. I love Dustin. Dustin loves me. But me and Dustin get in a little spat, little argument. And I'm going to go down to Dustin's house and I'm going to apologize. And I pull in Dustin's driveway and he's got 400 men waiting on me. I'm running. I'm not staying. Same way, flip first, reverse. You know, if Logan comes up to my house, me and Logan's been in an argument, we've had a little fight, and Logan Archer comes up to my house and I got 400 men waiting on him. He's good with a shotgun. He hunts duck. But I ain't going to take care of 400 people. He's leaving, all right? That's the same situation that's going on right here. So Esau has 400 men that's with him. And verse 7 says that Jacob is greatly afraid and he is distressed. You ever been greatly afraid and greatly distressed before? I have. When Addie was going through her pass-out spells and seizures, that's the scaredest I've ever been in my life. Now, I've had things that's happened to me and scared me, but man alive, when something's happening to your own child, that's nothing. What's happened to you is nothing compared to what happens with your child. But me and Lene both were greatly afraid and great distressed. So he divided the people that he had with him. And he's thinking, well, if Esau's going to kill me, if Esau's going to come back and conquer me and things like that, all this stuff that I'm bringing with me from Laban's territory, I'm going to divide it up. That way he doesn't kill and destroy and take everything. He just takes half of it. That's what Jacob is thinking here. And he divided the people, it's verse 7, that was with him and the flocks and herds and the camels into two bands, two groups. And said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. So Jacob is saying, okay, if Esau takes this company, this other company is going to survive. But then I want you to look what Jacob does after this, verses 9 through 12. He starts praying to God. The Jacob 20 years ago wouldn't have been praying to God. He would have been lying. He would have been deceiving. He would have been tricking his way to try to trick Esau again. But we see here in this moment that Jacob starts praying to God. Are you not thankful that God makes a change in you? Are you not thankful that Jesus makes a change in you? 20 years ago, Jacob wouldn't have prayed, but now he's on his hands and his knees, and he's praying, and he's talking to God. I want to tell you something right now. I believe in going to therapists. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I believe in going to counseling. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I believe in antidepressant medication. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But when it comes down to changing a person's heart, and when it comes down to changing a person's soul, and when it comes down to changing the way the actions that you make and the decisions that you make, bless God, there is no better medication than God Himself, praise God. There's no better medication, hallelujah, than the Holy Spirit. There's no better medication than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's coming from somebody that takes Lexapro, bless God. I love Lexapro. It makes me feel good. It does. But I tell you right now, Jesus makes me feel better. All right? I'm not ashamed to admit that. I don't care. All right. Where am I? Verse 9 and 10 through 12. He's praying. He's talking to God. So after he gets done praying and after he gets done talking to God, he says, I'm going to give Esau a present. Now notice this change. So not only is Jacob praying and talking to God, something that he wouldn't have done 20 years ago, now Jacob is giving Esau a gift. Now if you remember 20 years ago, maybe even longer than that, when Esau was coming out of his mother's womb, who was reaching at the heel to grab him? Jacob was. He wanted the birthright. If you'll remember, Esau came in from a long day's hunt and he was starving. Said, I'm so hungry, I'm about to faint, I'm about to die. Jacob didn't give him food of his own free will or to be nice to his brother. He said, give me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. That's the type of person that Jacob was. And we all about know about the deception he did with his dad Isaac that him and his mom came up with. I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to get off track with what God wants us to share this morning. But what I'm trying to get across is this. Jacob was somebody his whole life. He had been a taker, a taker, a taker, a taker. But now what's he doing? He's giving, he's giving, he's giving, he's giving. Bless God this morning. The Bible is very clear about that. It says it is better to give than it is to receive. Jacob had done a lot of receiving his whole life by lying and deceiving, but bless God now he's given. I want to tell us all something this morning as a great reminder. It's great to get and it's great to receive, but man alive, how much better it is to give to somebody. How great is it to give somebody the knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, that rose on the third day, and they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? That's the greatest thing that could ever be given. Hallelujah. And you know what us as the children of God have the right, have the privilege to do? We have the right to give that information to somebody, bless God. We have the opportunity to give ourselves to our neighbor that may be in need. Your neighbor may have a ton of branches in the yard from the storms that went through. You know what? And time may not allow it, but I'll tell you this. You know what? Go over and help your neighbor pick up some tree limbs. It's better to give than it is to receive. And you might say, well, that don't seem like a whole lot. What's that going to do? How's that going to get somebody in church? How's that going to get somebody saved? Listen, I want to tell you something right now. Just because we're saved and just because we're Christians don't make us, it does make us better than people in God's eyes. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If the saved looked down on me when I was lost, I wouldn't be saved this morning. Bless God, let's not look down on the lost, but hallelujah, let's give, let's give, let's give, let's give. And they may not take. There's another part of that. We can give, we can give, we can give. Liberty Fellowship can give and give and give. Pastor Dan can preach about Jesus every Sunday. I can preach about Jesus every Sunday. Tom can teach about Jesus every Sunday. We can give and give and give, and they may not take, but at least, bless God, we can say that we gave. Hallelujah. That we gave the good news about Jesus. That we gave the good news that Jesus is coming back to take up the church. That we gave the good news that, yea, though you walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Bless God, for thou art with me. Praise God. Let's give the good news of Jesus this morning. Let's give. Let us not worry about receiving. I want to say something about that. Man, I'm getting excited about this. I like it. We're living in a day and time. Churches love to take. They want to take your money. I know some churches, and I ain't going to mention names or anything, but I know some churches, if you go there for 2 weeks and you ain't tithe, they send you a letter in the mail. Where's your money? I'm not joking. I know some churches, the number that's on the attendance board is more important than the number that's how many people's getting saved and how many people's been baptized. Let me tell you something. There's a problem with that. That's taking. Bless God, it ain't the church's job to take. It's the church's God's job to give. And once the church gives and people begin to understand that it's great to give to God, whether it be through tithing and whether it be through service and things like that, I'll tell you right now, when the church gives and then people in the church begin to understand it's great to give back to God, bless God, that's a church that's on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. They might be 30 people there. There might be 50 people there. They might be 60 people there. But bless God, give me that over the church that's got 500 and all they're doing is taking from people. Bless God. That's a little mean. Sorry. But it's the truth. It's the truth. All right, where are we at? Verse 10. He prayed. Esau sends a present. If you read 13 through 23, I'm not going to read that. Esau sends, man, all kinds of stuff to Esau. Jacob sends all kinds of stuff to Esau. All kinds of cattle. And back then, how much cattle you had, that made how rich you were. Man, I tell you right now, Logan and Riley, how many cows y'all got? Two. One of them right now. I bet he'd make 700 hamburgers. Gosh, I'm wanting that sucker to give so bad. But Riley's already named it, so it ain't going to be given no hamburger meat, all right? I wish you wouldn't have named it, Riley. Because every time I see that cow, that little name goes through my head. Then I feel guilty about wanting to have a bacon double cheeseburger, okay? She named it. Now I want a cheeseburger, okay? So Jacob's offering up all this to Esau. In verse 23 it says, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So he's alone. Nobody's around him. His wives are not around him. His kids are not around him. His cattle's not around him. His servants are not around him. He's alone. Sometimes we need to get alone with God. Sometimes we need, and it's great to have spiritual advice. If I need spiritual advice, I can tell you right now, I'm going to call Dan. I'm going to call Tom. I'm going to call my papa. I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to call my father-in-law. I've got people in my life that if I need good, sound, spiritual advice, I'm going to call. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But man alive, get alone with God somewhere and just talk to God. Because you know what? He'll talk back to you. It may not be a clear voice, but it may be a still, calm voice like Elijah got in the cave, bless God. So get alone and talk with God. So Jacob is left alone. In verse 24 we find, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of dawn. So what this verse means is that this angel appears unto Jacob and they wrestle all night. That's what the Bible is saying right here. They wrestled all night. And the sun is coming up. So I can just see Jacob and this angel wrestling all night and the sun coming up. Think about that a second. God has sent an angel from heaven to wrestle with Jacob. And they have wrestled all night. Now, if this is what you get out of this, you're going to miss the boat. So I don't want you to think this. You shouldn't be sitting there thinking right there, man, how powerful was Jacob? How strong was Jacob? He could wrestle with an angel of God all night and the sun start to come up. That's how it went. 12 rounds. It went the distance. I think in boxing they have 12 or 15 rounds. It went the distance. Man, how strong, how great, how mighty, how powerful is Jacob that he would wrestle an angel all night? No, that's not the point of this. The point is this: how great, how merciful, how loving, how awesome, how caring is our God that he would allow that angel to fight with Jacob all night. Because that angel come from God. And if God wanted that angel to take care of Jacob in 5 minutes, it would have been taken care of in 5 minutes. But that wasn't the case here. And then that got me to thinking about us this morning. I'm so thankful that when I was lost and I didn't know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I wrestled with God for a week, and I wrestled with God for a month, and I wrestled with God for days, and I wrestled with God for a year, that God still allowed that Holy Spirit to come by and wrestle me, that it didn't leave me. You see, if the conviction would have left, if the Holy Spirit would have left, and if Jesus would have stopped trying to wrestle with me, if God would have stopped trying to wrestle with me, I wouldn't be up here preaching this morning. I wouldn't be safe this morning. The troubles that I've been through in this world, bless God. Some of the terrible decisions that I've made and the decisions that I've made that led to terrible consequences. I'm thankful that God came down, bless God, and wrestled with me. Yes. Because if he wouldn't have wrestled with me, he would have said, I give up, I'm done with you. But bless God, he wrestled with me.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for wrestling with me this morning. I don't know if we've ever thought about it that way, but you better be thankful this morning that God allowed you to wrestle with him and he didn't give up on you. That's what's happening right here. So I don't want you to think, man, Jacob's awesome. Jacob's great. He ain't mightier than God is, folks. And he surely ain't mightier than an angel that's come from heaven to wrestle with him. God is allowing this wrestling match to happen. So what happens here? Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him. So the angel is seeing that he is prevailing not against Jacob. And what that means is Jacob is not giving in. Jacob is not submitting. So if you are wrestling God this morning, maybe you've just been wrestling for a day or two. Maybe you've been wrestling for a week or two. Maybe you've been wrestling for a month. You may have been wrestling with God for something over a year. I don't know this morning. But if God is still wrestling you, first of all, be thankful for the fact that he loves you enough to still wrestle with you. But second of all, if you want the wrestling match to end, bless God, submit yourselves to the perfect will of God. And the fighting will stop. Okay? You know, in wrestling, I used to love Sting. Anybody know Sting the wrestler? I love Sting. Carry that big baseball bat in there, come out of the rafters. One time he came out of the chopper. Man alive, I wanted to be Sting when I grew up. I thought he was the greatest thing ever. And he had this wrestling move called the Scorpion Deathlock. I don't know if anybody remembers that. I promise there's a point to this. He had the Scorpion Deathlock. And if he got you in the Scorpion Deathlock, it was automatic submission. If you was in that thing for 5 or 10 seconds, man, you was tapping out. Just like that. You was done. I know this is maybe funny, but I don't mean it funny. Sometimes God needs to get us in a scorpion death lock so that we can tap out and submit ourselves to the perfect will of God. That's what the analogy is of that, okay? And you can use any wrestler, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, I don't care. But you can use that as an analogy to any of that. All right? So verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow point of his thigh. Other words, he dislocates or he breaks Jacob's hip. That's what this angel's doing. Wrestled all night. Sun's coming up. Angel needs to leave. Angel needs to get back to heaven. So God gives the angel permission. I'm going to break Jacob's hip. Look what Jacob does here. I love this. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Man alive, you talk about wrestling the perfect will of God and you talk about wrestling submission to God. Jacob is still wrestling this angel with a dislocated hip. If I'm in a wrestling match and I get a dislocated hip, I'm done. But Jacob is still wrestling. It shows the struggle that he was having with God. Sometimes we struggle with God this much too, folks. And you don't have to be a lost person to struggle with God this much.
You can be a saved person and struggle with God this much too. Fight God this much. Wrestling with God. In verse 26, the angel says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He's saying, Jacob, I got to get back to heaven. I can't fight you anymore. Daylight's coming. God don't want me to be here this long. The match is over. And then in the middle of verse 26, Jacob's changed a lot, but here's where we see where he really changes. This is the root of this whole story, the middle of 26. And he said, I will not let thee go. Jacob is somebody, his whole life he had got what he wanted by doing things his way. But now he is broken. Now his hip is dislocated. He has wrestled with an angel from God all night, and he has finally got to the place and point in life that where he realizes, hey, I've got a dislocated hip. Esau's on the other side of this river. He's got 400 men with him. I can't do this by myself. I ain't going to trick my way out of this. I ain't going to deceive my way out of this. So he went from fighting this angel to holding on and not letting go of it. I will not let thee go except thou. That's the biggest thing out of this. Except thou bless me. Jacob looks at this angel holding on to him with a dislocated hip. He's wrestled this angel all night, and he's finally got to the place and point to where he will submit, and he's holding on. The angel's wanting to leave, and he says, I'm not going to let you go till you promise me a blessing. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Bless God this morning. I'm thankful for those times that we've wrestled with God and He has spiritually dislocated our hip, and we come to the place important understanding, hey, you know what? If I'm going to receive a blessing, I'm just going to have to hold on to God. I'm just going to have to hold on to the promises that He gave me. Listen, sometimes in life God's got to break us. Sometimes He's got to dislocate our hip. Sometimes He's got to give us an illness. Sometimes He's got to give us a worry. Sometimes He's got to give us a trouble. Sometimes God gives us those things so we realize we got to hold on and not let go. Hallelujah. Bless God this morning. I've got a hold of Jesus and I'm not letting go. I've got a hold of the finished work at the cross of Calvary and I'm not letting go. I've got a hold of the perfect miracles and works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not letting go. I've got a hold of the resurrected Savior. The tomb is empty, and I'm not letting go. I've got a hold of, bless God, there's a better place for the saints of God that's called heaven, and I'm not letting go. I've got a hold of the fact that one day I may die, but I won't walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone, bless God. I'm holding on. I've got a hold of the fact that one day Jesus Christ is coming back to gather the church. See, the first time He came, He gave Himself as a Savior. But when He comes back and we meet Him in the air, He's coming to take, bless God. He's coming to take the born again believer, hallelujah. And you know what? I'm holding on the whole way there. So what I want you to know and what I want you to understand this morning is, you can't do nothing without God. If you're lost this morning, you can't do nothing without God. And if you're saved this morning, that ain't changed one bit. You still can't do nothing without God. We're about done. I just love that image of Jacob holding on and not letting go. You realize that Jacob walked around with a limp for the rest of his life from this. Ooh, that's powerful. That's powerful. I've went through things in my life where God's given me a limp. I've went through things in my life where I've got some scars. But I tell you right now, give me that limp and holding on to Jesus every day, than 100% strongest person, healthiest person in the world and not needing God. Give me cancer and let me realize that I need to hold on to Jesus every day than think I don't need God. Give me, make me be poor and let me realize I need to hold on to God every day than let me be rich and think I don't need God. God has a way of putting us in a place where we will understand and realize that we need to hold on to God and stop wrestling. Hallelujah. So thank God for the limbs. Thank God for the struggle. Thank God for the fight. Thank God for the times He came down and He whipped us and He punished us and He dislocated our hips, bless God. Thank God for the troubles that God sends our way, bless God. Thank God for it. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. That's the angel talking to Jacob. Then we get to verse 28. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. If you'll remember, Jacob means trickster. Jacob means deceiver. God's changing his name. His name ain't going to mean trickster or deceiver anymore. Oh, glory to God. Are you not thankful that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and when you get to heaven, you're going to have a new name? Yeah, it's not going to be associated with any of this trouble we've had in this world. Man, that feels good. But Israel, Jacob's name gets changed to Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. In other words, you struggled with God, but prevailed. Not within himself, but Jacob finally prevailed when his hip was broken and he held on to that angel that was sent from God and he wouldn't let go. He had fully submitted, he had fully surrendered his life to God in that moment and in that time. You struggled with God and prevailed. Whoo! I'm thankful this morning that I can say, I have struggled with God, but have prevailed. Because of God, not because of myself. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're struggling with God this morning, you better thank God that He's willing to struggle with you, that He's willing to fight with you, that He's willing to wrestle with you. And because He's willing to wrestle with you, He's not giving up on you. And He wants you to submit to Him. So if you're here and you're lost this morning, I hope you've spiritually been broken this morning. I hope your spiritual hip's been dislocated. Why? Because it gets you to the place and point in life where you realize, I need God. And if you're here and you're a Christian this morning, I hope spiritually you've been broken this morning. It broke me all week. I wrestled with God all week. I didn't want to preach this. You think I wanted to preach this? It broke me all week. But man, I thank God for it. I thank God for it. Because the breaking that God did to me this week, I realized I got to hold on every day of my life and not let go. So if you're here and you're a Christian this morning and this message has spiritually broken you, I want you to hold on to God this morning. Because He wanted to break you and that He loved you enough to wrestle you, bless God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer while we're praying. They can come and get a song ready. That'd be great. God, I thank You for this message this morning. God, I pray that I said what You wanted said. I pray that I got this across the way that You wanted it to get across this morning, God. God, most of all, I pray if anyone be lost this morning, God, I pray, God, that this message was used to spiritually break them so that they could understand, that they could know, that they could realize that they're so broken that they just need to get a hold of Jesus. And God, I pray for the saved this morning. I pray, God, that it was used to spiritually break them like this broke me all week, God. That they realize they just need to hold on to Jesus and not let go. Thank You, God, for wrestling us. Thank You, God, so much for wrestling us. Thank You, God, so much for putting up with us. And thank You, God, for staying on us so that we could submit to Your perfect will. God, the invitation is now. And I pray You speak. All these things we ask in Your Son's name. Amen. Rise to your feet. If God's spoken to your heart, come down this morning. And we'll pray with you. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, come down this morning. Thank you.
appreciate your fine attention. Appreciate your prayers. Don't forget to come back tonight. Preacher Dan will be back tonight, but I'll be preaching. So hope they had a great service over at First Free Will this morning. Let me get back here so I can shake your hand, give you a hug, get some Stony Creek sweat all over. All right. I'm going to ask Logan.